to FinTech's DEI Discussions podcast series. We are here today to celebrate the wins, raise awareness of the challenges, and walk the talk for change across the entire financial technology industry. This special episode is live in the London Excel Centre at FinTech Connect 2023. And today we are joined by Erlend Nitte Hage, Head of FinTech Partnership at DNB. He's here today to tell us how he walks the talk for inclusion across the sector and what more he wants done. Erlend, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this episode. Tell us about the DNB mission within the sector for FinTech Partnerships.
Yep. FinTech Partnership is quite broad. So we are working in a lot of directions. So in my role, I'm working across the whole bank, trying to put the relevant startups in contact with relevant people internally. So we do screen and scout maybe 500 companies, fintech companies a year, and some of them will lead to actual partnership. But we try to be at these events like this to keep, what do you say in English, a finger on the pulse, is that a way of putting it?
Yeah.
And see what's happening. And then I'm going to bring back home some of the partners, potential partners we've found, and try to see if we can do something more.
Yeah, super interesting. And I love this, that you're looking to learn and collaborate and then take that information back home. What does your role actually look like beyond that?
Well, on a day-to-day basis, I work on some domains that are strategically important for us for the future, such as the one I was talking about here with regards to embedded finance. But it's also about managing the relationships we already have and actually making it easier for startups and scale-ups to collaborate with DNB, because we're a 200-year-old bank. We are the largest bank in Norway. We do have a lot of legacy, and the way of work has changed a lot now, especially with startups. So we are trying to put in place the processes needed for startups to actually enter into partnership with a big bank like DNB, because we have more time than they do. Our procurement process can be quite long. So on a daily basis, I'm also trying to actually educate people internally and set in the right structures for us to enter partnerships. So we have been quite successful actually on that. We are able now to execute on partnerships in a month, doing the procurement process and everything. But we are still developing. So that's part of my job, as well as being out there listening, meeting with fintechs.
That's super exciting, because I think there's lots of people that want to formulate partnerships, but they just get absolutely bogged down by the processes within banks, especially fintechs, when the whole point of them setting up is to be away from these processes, to then suddenly have to be drawn back into it. So it's a great mission that you're on. And if you talk about true embedded finance, I just want you to explain to the audience what you mean by that.
Yeah, so I think we're seeing now way more integration of banking products in third-party channels, which is challenging for a bank. We are very used to distributing our products ourselves, but now we are trying to look into how can we actually solve customer problems through third parties. But for it to be true, I believe it has to solve a real customer problem. We can push as many financial products as we want, but if it doesn't really solve your need in the channel you are in, then it doesn't really make sense. And also for it to be true, it has to be 100% automated. Because if you are buying a car online and you want to apply for a car loan that's embedded in that channel, you don't want to wait several days because you want to order that car immediately. So it has to be 100% automated. And we have a way to go, every bank does, to get to that stage, but we are slowly getting there, and we do actually have some good use cases out in the market, but that's where we're heading towards true embedded services.
I'm so pleased to hear you say that, because I think there's a number of things within our industry right now. It's not necessarily true. Like, everyone's full of the hype of AI, for example.
Yep.
But actually, who is truly using AI? Or is it some of the old school automation tools that we're used to? So it's really interesting that you're bringing that up. And talking about trends and next year, what are your predictions? What do you think we need to be looking out for?
Yeah, you mentioned AI, and I can't sit there not mentioning it, right? And actually, my prediction is that we're going to see some real use cases within AI. We are on top of the hype train. We are with embedded finance as well, I believe. But next year, I think we will actually see some real use cases, because every bank now is experimenting, testing, learning the technology. But we are starting to see, okay, here we can actually make some value, whether it's internal processes that we can make way faster, or actual customer services that we can help out with. So we will still see banks like DNB experimenting and trying and testing some cases. I think we'll actually also see some real use cases for end customers. And I'm a big believer in embedded finance. Mm-hmm. We've seen cases, quite big cases already this year. We have Apple and Goldman that didn't really turn out well in the first instance, but we see in HSBC now with Tradeshift, huge partnership, we will see way more of those because banks now are modernizing their tech stack. We are getting used to distributing through third parties, so I think we'll see some pretty big partnerships in that space as well. And if I can mention, green products, especially for us in Norway, we are now offering green loans to B2C, private customers. So if you are renovating your house, buying solar panels, you can get a green loan that is more affordable. But we need to make people aware of it, and that's why we could have bent it in the channel where we're actually buying those products. So I think that we will think about sustainability and the green shift a lot next year.
And again, I think that green shift is such an important part of the conversation. And it's all linked because when you think about true embedded finance, it's about challenging the old system. And I know that, you know, you're incredibly passionate about innovation and making sure that things are moving in the right direction. I'd love for you to share some of your thoughts around innovation, how that challenges old ways of thinking and the status quo.
Yeah, that's a conversation that's ongoing internally, right? Because we would like to build a lot ourselves, and we are going to continue to do that. But we also see that customer needs and customer expectations are changing, like we've seen with the checkout processes online, where many people now are using Klarna, or in Norway you can also use Vipps. That was a big shift, right? You're not necessarily now actually buying the product if you can't check out with one of those options. So it is actually... we're seeing it actually on our P&L now. And what we put in place in DNB is an innovation system that is supposed to take care of ideas that are a bit more adjacent, maybe even transformational, than our everyday business. So regular innovators in DNB or business developers take care of the incremental stuff, which is super important. But the bigger ideas we're putting through a system where we're actually educating both leadership and the people working on the product about customer needs. So it's about testing and experimenting. Mm-hmm. And we try to facilitate for some bigger ideas as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. And I'm so pleased that you're talking about customer needs, because that takes me to my next question around inclusion. Inclusion within this sector is something I'm super passionate about, but not just talking about it, driving it forward. And I love Celebrate, where individuals have seen actions for inclusion really working and making an impact. So what have you seen in your career?
I think the Norwegian society in general is quite advanced in terms of diversity and inclusion, which I'm very happy about. DNB was actually voted by, or named by, Financial Times as the most inclusive company within finance. Mm. And we were fourth overall across all industries, so that's really good. We have a 40-60% balance between genders. Either way, we have a 20-week parental leave, no matter which gender you are, and that's across the whole world. We have employees in India, we have all over the world, and that actually leads to us being more innovative in how we work with startups as well. So we've seen that by changing the ads for new job positions, the way we are communicating is often towards men. So we are using words as competitive and risky, and it actually, it seems at least that that's more for men than a lot of women, and we are looking for startups for our accelerator, for instance. We really want female founders also to be represented. So we have changed the way of communication, and that actually comes from the CEO of DNB. And this year we have been able to attract several startups, tech startups, with female founders.
Amazing.
And I'm advising one of them, and I think it's really healthy for us. But also we have a responsibility in terms of the products we are selling. We see that mostly men are taking charge of the loans and all of the kind of economical decisions. So we spend a lot of money now on trying to communicate. It's important to be that both genders are represented. And yeah, this goes across so many different areas, of course. Diversity is a big topic, but it's high on our agenda, which
I think
is good.
I'm so pleased to hear so. And it's great all the work that you're doing and the accolades the business is receiving. Tell us a bit about FinTech Connect, your experience and what you've loved about being here.
Today is my first day, actually. I was supposed to be here yesterday, but like I told you, going to London, seemingly it's a lot of fog in London.
Yes.
I haven't heard about that before, but it is. So my plane couldn't leave. And then if your plane stands for 2 hours on ground in Norway when it's minus 15, you get a lot of ice on your wingtips. So I was feeling the climate of both Norway and London getting here. So I was here a bit late last night, but today is my first day. And think it's a really good event. I've seen some startups that have actually been part of our accelerator back in Norway, Kosle. Mm. I'm very happy to see them. And obviously you have all of the big players here that we also want to engage with and learn from. And just the vibe in general is really good.
Amazing.
Yeah, well
and
worth
it's been,
the trip.
Yeah, and I'm so pleased that you've been able to join us today on FinTech's DEI Discussions to record it live here at FinTech Connect. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing all your insights.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's listen, let's learn, let's walk the talk.